Please open to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 142, which is a partner to the psalm that we finished with yesterday, Psalm 57. Both of them have superscriptions that tie them into the event where David spared the life of King Saul in the cave a little west of the Dead Sea community of En Gedi. Now, with this, we will jump into quite a few of David's psalms, those that don't have chronological tie-ins, but which have content that seem to me to indicate they were written right around this same time period when David is on the run from King Saul, trying to stay out of his way during the last couple of years of Saul's reign. As I told you earlier, when we go through the Psalms, we're not going to try to overanalyze them. I want us to feel the Psalms, because that's what they were intended to do for us, to get us to be in the same mindset as David was when these things were happening, so that we can appreciate just how rough things were, but that David still knew God could be trusted. The really good thing about Psalms is it helps us know that no matter what's going on, we should just share this stuff with God, share even the negative emotions that we're having, and then leave it in His hands to do the right thing and to bring us through it, because that's what we really need. So let's feel our way through Psalm 142. Start with the ancient superscription. A maskil of David, so some sort of style of psalm, when he was in the cave, a prayer. So there's our historic tie-in to the last event. With my voice I cry out to He who is. With my voice I plead for mercy to He who is. I pour out my complaint before Him. I tell my trouble before Him. Now that's what all of us should be doing. As Peter says in the New Testament, cast all your cares on the Lord, for He cares for you. So when we have trouble, let God know about it. He already does, but we just need to express ourselves to Him. Verse 3, when my spirit faints within me, You know my way. In the path where I walk, they've hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, there is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. So that's how he feels, is people are out to get him, and only God seems to care. I cry to you, O He who is. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison, that I may give thanks to your name. And the righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. So David feels that he's locked into this situation. He can't go to his home. He can't be with his family because they're over in Moab. He can't be with Jonathan because he's with his father, Saul, who really wants him dead. He can't go back to his old life because he's got former friends and associates of his that are trying to lie to him, to Saul, and get him killed. So he really is in a sort of prison, and he wants out. He wants God to bring him back so that he can be with the rest of the righteous people giving praise to God. So when you sometimes feel that way, that everyone's out to get you and everything is locking you away from doing what you want to do, which during this pandemic, so many of us are finding ourselves feeling like that. Know that God is there. Talk to Him about it. Lay the situation into His hands and trust that He will get you through to the other side when things can get back to a much more normal situation where you can praise and socialize openly. Let's go to the very front of the book of Psalms now and just go through in order with some selected psalms that I believe were likely written during this time period, or maybe before. But the reason I believe that they're written during this time period is because of the emotions that are expressed during these psalms. David is clearly on the outs with the situations of life, and he wants God to do something about it. So the first one we're going to go to is Psalm number 4. Psalm number 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. So he appeals to God, please do something. You've helped me in the past. Do it again. Oh, men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? Selah. Now, Selah, I believe, is a musical indicator of bring the music up here. Have some sort of musical interlude or some sort of crescendo. That seems to me to be the meaning of it. So when you see it, just think about that. Get bigger here. But notice what he said in verse 2. He actually directs his wording to the people who are lying about him. His former associates in the military, in the palace, that are lying to King Saul about David being a bad guy when he's not. Verse 3, but know that he who is has set apart the godly for himself. He who is hears when I call to him. So David knows, even though these guys are lying, God knows better. Now listen to verse number 4. Be angry and do not sin. Does that sound familiar? That is something that Paul the Apostle wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, instructions to Christians. Be angry, don't sin, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So here is David kind of talking to himself and talking to other people. It's okay to be angry about stuff not being right, but don't get carried away with it so that you cross the line into sin. Instead of what Paul wrote, where it's don't let the sun go down in your wrath, David said, ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent, Selah. So he says, when you're going to sleep and you're running these things over in your head, let God know about it. Meditate on it, leave it to God, and let it go. Verse 5, offer right sacrifices and put your trust in He who is. Folks, that is good instruction for us all. We can't take matters into our own hands. I'm talking about going outside of legal boundaries and doing stuff. We need to let God work through the system and through His own way of taking care of business. Verse 6, there are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O He who is. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O He who is, make me dwell in safety. So David finishes his psalm by saying, you know what? When I trust God, I feel more joy in my heart. I have more peace in my heart. I'm able to sleep at night when I trust that God will do the right thing. And so we need to follow that directive as well. Let's go to Psalm 7 next. Psalm number 7. And this one actually does have a superscription to it. It says, a Shigion of David, which again is some sort of style of psalm, which he sang to He Who Is concerning the words of Cush, a Benjamite. Now, we don't have any stories in the historical text about Cush from Benjamin saying nasty things about David. But apparently, it was part of this whole time period when members of Saul's court, people that David used to work with, are now lying about David. And so David is aware of what this Cush of Benjamin is saying about him, and he writes a song about it. Oh, He Who Is My God, in You do I take refuge. Save me from all my pursuers and deliver me, lest like a lion they tear my soul apart, rending it in pieces with none to deliver. So David kind of pictures these guys, these opponents of his, like wild lions looking to rip him to shreds. Verse 3, oh, He Who Is My God, if I've done this, if there is wrong in my hands, if I've repaid my friend with evil or plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it, and let him trample my life to the ground and lay my glory in the dust. Selah. So David is like, God, if I really am a bad guy, then take me out. Arise, oh, He Who Is, in your anger, lift yourself up against the fury of my enemies. Awake for me. You have appointed a judgment. Let the assembly of the peoples be gathered about you. Over it, return on high. And He Who Is judges the peoples. Judge me, O He Who Is, according to my righteousness and according to the integrity that is in me. O let the evil of the wicked come to an end, and may you establish the righteous, you who test the minds and hearts, O righteous God. So David's prayer is basically, vindicate me in the situation. Punish the people who are doing me wrong and show that I am in the right, that I've not done these evil things they keep accusing me of. Verse 10, my shield is with God who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge and a God who feels indignation every day. So David trusts that God will act, because he has in the past. If a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. He has bent and readied his bow. He's prepared for him his deadly weapons, making his arrows fiery shafts. So he pictures God dealing out justice against those who refuse to repent of wrong. Verse 14, behold, the wicked man conceives evil and is pregnant with mischief and gives birth to lies. You can see that imagery right there, can't you? He makes a pit, digging it out, and then falls into the hole that he's made. His mischief returns upon his own head, and on his own skull, his violence descends. This is a theme that you'll see a lot in David. You actually see it in the Proverbs as well, that people get boomeranged by their own evil intentions, that they think they're going to deal out harm to somebody that's in the right, and instead that guy, that gal escapes and they get caught in the trap. And so David kind of prays for that, for this Cush from Benjamin. I will give to He Who Is the thanks due to His righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of He Who Is the Most High. So promises of thanksgiving psalms to God once he deals with these problems. Psalm 17 is where I think we should go next. Psalm 17 has a superscription simply of a prayer of David. But listen to this content and how it kind of ties in with David's situation. Hear a just cause, O my master. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From your presence let my vindication come. Let your eyes behold the right. You've tried my heart. You've visited me by night. You've tested me, and you will find nothing. I've purposed that my mouth will not transgress. With regard to the works of man, by the word of your lips, I've avoided the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. So he acknowledges here, I do things your way, God. Please vindicate me. Do something about these bad guys. Verse 6, I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior, to those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. So he just keeps repeating this same theme. I am doing things your way. Please take care of my situation and deal with those that are lying about me and trying to harm me. Verse 8, keep me as the apple of your eye. This is a phrase that needs a little bit of explanation. The apple of the eye is the pupil area. It's that dark circle at the center of the iris. And it is a reflective surface. So when you're looking into the eyes of someone, what do you see? You see yourself. You have become the apple of their eye because they're looking at you. So David says, keep me in your sight. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Imagery that he's used before. From the wicked who do me violence, my deadly enemies who surround me. They close their mouths they close their hearts to pity. With their mouths they speak arrogantly. They have now surrounded our steps. They set their eyes to cast us to the ground. So David's not just praying for himself. He's praying for his men because they're caught up in the same thing. Saul and his inner circle that are lying to him about David, they're all out to get David and his men. He is like a lion eager to tear, as a young lion lurking in ambush. Arise, O he who is, confront him, subdue him. Deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword, from men by your hand, O he who is, from men of the world whose portion is in this life. That is, guys that are only about the here and now. You fill their womb with treasure, and they are satisfied with children, and they leave their abundance to their infants. The imagery here is kind of weird for us. It's the idea that, God, you've given them plenty of things. Particularly, you've given them families, you've given them children. And yet now, because of their wickedness, you're going to end up executing them. And taking them away from all of those blessings. Verse 15, as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness. So he anticipates that all of this is going to be shaken out eventually, and he will wake up from this nightmare of life and be in the presence of God and in his glory, and everything will be the way it should be. Let's go to a psalm everyone is pretty familiar with, Psalm 23. Now, it's possible this psalm was written earlier, back when David was a shepherd, and he was just thinking about life in general. But there are some elements to it that I think fit better with this time period of stress. So let's read it in that context. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So he pictures God being like he himself was, a shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. So he treats me like a good shepherd treats good sheep. He takes me to the nice green places to eat, and then he takes me next to the waters that are nice and still so I don't have to be scared about being swept away in the flood. He restores my soul. See, he makes my life good. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The shepherds take their sheep in the best, safest route. And so that's what David feels God has done for him. With this exception, every once in a while, shepherds have to go through dangerous areas, little wadis that might have snakes and wild animals. So he brings that up because that's kind of where David is right now. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, one of these danger times, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff were the shepherd's tools for keeping their sheep in line, but also protecting them from dangers. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, that green field again. Maybe bringing fodder and just laying it right there in the little corral. Maybe it's inclement weather and he's got the sheep under the protection of a cave. So he brings the food in and lays it out. That's how God is. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. The sheep would be anointed with oil when they had, you know, dings, you know, when they had little sores. And so here is David picturing God taking good care of him and giving him more than he needed. The cup was overflowing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. See, God's kindness, God's pity, God's love is going to follow David just like David's concern followed his own sheep their entire lives. And now here is David knowing God's going to do that for him. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So even when this life is done, David knows that he's going to spend eternity with God because God cares about him. What a wonderful psalm, isn't it? Well, let's squeeze in maybe one more. Psalm number 26. Psalm number 26. Superscription just simply says, of David. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in he who is without wavering. So he's asking for God to make things right because he has done the right stuff. Prove me, O he who is, and try me. Test my heart and my mind. That is, check me out, God. You know me inside and out. You know all the way down to my kidneys and my heart, my inner core stuff. You know me. For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. So David is not shy in asking God to intervene on his behalf because he has always done the right thing for God. I do not sit with men of falsehood, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I won't sit with the wicked. So he doesn't mess around in the company of bad people. I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O he who is, proclaiming thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous deeds. So that's what he does. He worships God. Oh, he who is, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. That's a reference to the tabernacle where he has been and worshipped many, many times. Do not sweep my soul away with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands are evil devices and whose right hands are full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me, be gracious to me. My foot stands on level ground in the great assembly. I will bless he who is. So you can feel the emotion of him saying, I am a righteous man. Redeem me, save me. We probably do have time enough to do 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He who is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And that's the wording for the places where they've been hiding out. When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who will stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of he who is, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of he who is all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of he who is, and to inquire in his temple. So he's back to that idea again. I want to get back to the tabernacle. I don't want to be on the run. I want to be back into society. I want to be back where I can worship God with sacrifices and songs and walk around the tabernacle building. Verse 5, for he will hide me in his shelter. In the day of trouble, he will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. So he trusts that God is going to get him through the rough times that he's been living through. Well, we're not going to be able to get through that whole psalm, so mark your place right there, and we'll get right back to it next time we're in God's Word.